Love Him this morning.
Amen. Amen. You think about all He's done for us, and you can't help but to love the Lord with all you've got. In the book of Mark is where we'll be reading from this morning. While you open there, let me say it's good to have everybody with us, those that are with us week in and week out, and those that are visiting with us today, for Brother Joe and also for Brother Arthur and Sister Carol. McFarland, it's good to have them. Carolyn McFarland, it's good to have them with us this morning. And I hope I haven't missed anybody. That's a risk that you take when you start calling names out. But we appreciate all of them being with us. But most of all, I appreciate that the Lord is here with us today, and that He has blessed these songs, blessed our gathering, even in the prayers. And I believe He's got a word for us this morning. If we will just open up our ears and let us hear what the Lord has to say to us today. So in the book of Mark, in the 9th chapter, reading starting at the 2nd verse down through and including the 7th verse. And if you'd like to stand for the reading of God's word, He says in the 2nd verse that, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with Him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them to a high mountain apart by themselves. And He was transfigured before them, and His raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, and they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came from out of that cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And I want to stop reading there in that 7th verse today. And you can be seated in the house of the Lord. I'd like to use for a text while you pray for us. What is He saying to you? What is He saying to you? God spoke to these only the second time that God had spoke with an audible voice to them that was around, pronouncing that Jesus was His Son. This is my Son, my beloved Son. And today, regardless of what the most of the world believes, I still believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Amen. That'll preach right there. I believe that He is the Son of God. I believe that He was born of a virgin. And that He did live a sinless life. And that He paid the debt that you and I owe today. And had it not been for Jesus Christ, none of us would be able to have anything to brag about, to sing about, or to praise about, or to have joy about what is waiting for us when this life comes to an end. But this message this morning that the Lord has laid upon my heart, the Lord is speaking to every one of us. We have referenced this in times past, and I believe that Jim made mention of it last weekend as well, or maybe Brother Larry, is that in a congregation like this, when the Lord, as He searches out the hearts, He knows what every one of us needs this morning. He knows about that one that's hurting over here. He knows about that one that got the bad news from the doctor's office, maybe over here, or that family that is struggling to make ends meet, as we heard about just a few minutes ago, and risk of losing everything they have. God knows all about that as well. He knows those that's away from Him, and He knows those that's in the center of His will. And He knows about you that are lost today and undone, unprepared for the future. He knows about every care. There's not a one of us that's got anything that is hidden that God does not know about. And as He searches out the heart through and by His Holy Spirit, He is speaking to every one of us. What He speaks to me, Sister Kathy, might be different than what He speaks to you. But the Lord is speaking to all of us through and by His Holy Spirit. To some, it's a word of rebuke. To some, it's a word of exhortation or encouragement to try to get us to move in a path that He wants us to go. And as Jesus was here, and then Peter was so excited about the transfiguration and he saw all this, he said, let's just build 3 tabernacles here. And Peter had good intent. But while he was speaking, or after he finished speaking, the Father of our beloved Christ spoke and said, Peter, instead of you speaking, listen to what my Son has to say. Because the Son in the first verse said He's about to be crucified, and He said there's even some amongst us that shall not even taste of death until they see the kingdom of God come with power. And some folks might say, well, those men all died and they didn't see the kingdom come. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is in the hearts of those that are believers. Jesus had to go away for the kingdom to come. And we are part of His kingdom this morning. And I don't want to preach about that, but I want to preach about what the Lord is saying to us individually. And there are many folks that speak to us and to you during the course of a day or a week or a month or a year. But as people speak to us, we allow it to go in one ear and out the other, because it's not very valuable what they're saying. Or we look at the source that is speaking to us and we say they don't even know what they're talking about. Or we look at the source and say if it was that good, they would live by what they're saying. Is this not a synopsis of what we look at when people speak to us? But this morning when I say, what is He, the Lord, saying when He speaks to you? I'm talking about somebody that you better pay attention to. I'm talking about somebody that knows what He's talking about. I'm talking about somebody that's not using an opinion or an afterthought, but there is nothing that's going to happen or that has happened to us that God does not know about. There's nothing that's going to happen this day that God does not know about. And there certainly is nothing that's going to happen tomorrow that God does not already know about it. He's the authority this morning. He wrote the book. He spoke the world into existence, and He will have the final say, not the Mayan calendar, not the atomic bomb, but He will have the final say when it's time for this world to come to an end. And He looks over at His Son and says, Son, go get the church and bring her home, because time has come to an end. When God speaks, it ought to cause every one of us to stop in our tracks and to put everything else that is coming in and out of our communication channels, that we ought to put that aside and say, yes, Lord, speak to me, because You know what I need this morning. You know what I need for this day, and You know what I have faced this past week, and maybe, Lord, You know what I'm facing today and this coming week. And for some of us, it's, Lord, would You speak to my people that are lost and undone? One more time, would You go by their way and speak to them again? Because when you and I cannot get their attention, God is able to get their attention and to draw them by the help of His Holy Spirit. He's able to draw them, and where they see that His voice. You remember that they said when He spoke to them, never a man spake like this man. Does anybody else know what I'm preaching about this morning? That some say that, well, God has never ever talk to me in an audible voice like He did there when they was here building or wanting to build these 3 temples, or when He was there being baptized. He said I've never heard Him in an audible voice. But I go back to the Old Testament real quickly, and I remind you that it wasn't in the thunder and lightnings, it wasn't in the earthquakes, but it was in a still small voice that God spoke to His people. And then also Jesus told them, He said, when I go away, He said the Father's going to send you a comforter that will speak to you in the same manner in which I have spoke to you. Not that it's an audible voice, but listen to what he said in the book of John in the 16th chapter. He's telling them about that it is expedient for me to go away for the comforter to come. But go down to verse 13 when he says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. In other words, he's going to speak to us. Does anybody remember when the Holy Spirit spoke to you? Help me preach this morning. And not just when you was under conviction, but I'm glad every once in a while the Spirit comes by my way and speaks to me in a manner that lets me know that it wasn't mom or dad that was speaking to me, Chad, but this was a higher power than the deacons or even the preachers, but this was something that only God knew about that I'd been praying for. Anybody else been praying and nobody else knew what you was praying for, but God knew, and he come and spoke to you in such a way. He said that, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. When the Lord speaks to us, we better stop and pay attention to what God is trying to tell us in our lives. And there's so much that as I began to scan through the Bible, and verses come to my mind, Sister Rachel, and things that God had told his people through Jesus when he was here, that it's still applicable to our lives today, that those of us that are saved and to the lost, and I want to preach both parts. And if I'm a little lengthy in my preaching this morning, you pray that God will just help it to flow such that it won't seem like it's that long today. But he's able to take a whole lot and condense it down to where it's nothing or just a few minutes when the Spirit is moving the way that I know that he can cause it to move through his word today. But Jesus told him when he was here, and this goes to all of us today, he told him when he was here, he said, build your house upon the rock and not upon the sand. What he's saying is that if you build upon the sand, when the storms of life come, and they're going to come, amen, when the storms of life come and you build upon the sand, you'll have no foundation. Nothing will stand. Nothing will be there because the storms is able to knock it down. But how many of you got your house built upon the rock because the Lord told you to build it upon the rock? And people say, well, what kind of rock did you build it upon? I didn't go out and search for a foundation, but I had a foundation that was already laid from the beginning of time. I just built my house upon that foundation, and that rock is Jesus Christ today. And since that time that I have built my house upon that rock, the storms have come they have come and they've gone, and sometimes it feels like that we're just caught in a storm that is just going from one phase to another. But I declare to you, I may be pushed around while this storm is happening, but I cannot be pushed off of the foundation that I am built upon, because I am built upon the rock of Jesus Christ. And I thank him this morning, hallelujah, that because he told me through his word to build my house upon the rock, that I've never had to worry. Yes, I have suffered some damage. Yes, I have been pushed and maybe lost the shutters, if I could preach it like this. The roof has suffered some damage, but the house is still standing. Praise be to God this morning. And I want to be moving on this morning. He's also told us in his word, he said that where your heart is, that is where your treasure's at this morning. I believe in these last days in which we're living in, that folks, we are finally seeing that people that put all of their wealth or treasures upon the wealth of this world, that they're losing it and it's depreciating, and people that used to have a lot are down to nothing. And some today that what we used to think was so important to us, Christ said that you ought to take inventory and look at where your true treasures are at. And today I may not have much on this side, but let me tell you, my Father owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. The Bible says that heaven is His throne and the earth is His footstool. Everything you and I see, my Father owns it all this morning. And if we will listen to Him, we will not put much wealth or faith or confidence in the things of this world. But how many of you got a treasure account that is building on the other side of Jordan? In fact, I've got more over there than I've got here in this life today. And people say, well, if I had that much waiting for me, I'd want to go check up on it every once in a while and make sure that it is secure. Everything the Father has given me, I have lost none. Amen. People say, well, now you're trying to recite a verse. Jesus said, I've lost none. These are all my sheep, and I've lost none except the son of perdition. I'm telling you, everything God has given me, I've not lost anything. How many of you know it's increased in value? It's not even just holding its value. It's increased in value. I've got more to go to heaven for than I did yesterday, this morning, church. And the Bible also says that Jesus told them, He said, watch your fields this morning, moms and dads, young men and women. Watch your fields, because as the Lord would prosper us in our planting and our sowing, the enemy will come in unaware and plant tares amongst our crop. Many of our children today, and Chad, you and I had this conversation on Friday or Saturday, and then also I saw it in the on the front page of today's news that the devil has come into the midst of our homes. He's come into the midst of our church, and where God has planted good things, the devil has come in and planted tares amongst God's people and in God's people's lives. And folks, sometimes we don't even realize that they're growing, but we need to listen to what God says. We need to get out every once in a while and pull some of those tares up and pitch them in the fire to get rid of them, because the devil does not want anything good to come out of your life. The Bible says he's only come for one reason, that is to steal, kill, and destroy everything that God has done good for us. The Bible also says that Jesus told them there, He said that we ought to go in the last chapter of the book of John, or Matthew, He said that we ought to go and teach all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Folks, it's time that we start listening to what God has told us. You say, well, we support missionaries. That's what He's talking about. No, I'm telling you this morning and through this message that God is telling us it's time that we start evangelizing. It's start time we start telling somebody else that Jesus is still Lord, and that you need to repent, be baptized in His name, and you shall be born again, instead of this doctrine that's going in our land. And I've got just a message I just got to preach to you this morning, and there's more to come, but I've got to preach it to you this way. He did not say go down to the local assembly, sign a card, or go in the back room and talk to the deacons or sometimes of committee and get right, let them tell you how to live your life and everything be right. Folks, He told us that we need to preach the old time gospel that will go out and it will search out. It's not my job to send out conviction. It's not my job to try to come back and force you to the altar. It's the work of the Holy Spirit when God's people will begin to pray and support this type of preaching. And I say that today because most mainstream churches don't want to hear about God being the boss and about the Spirit doing all the work. The preacher or the deacons want all the credit, and I just want to declare to you this morning, without Him speaking to me, I cannot preach what He wants you to have today. I can bring you a word, but it wouldn't do you much good. It only lasts for a few minutes. But Brother Ron, when God brings you a word, it is a word that will stay with you all day, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It will carry you through your entire life when we listen to what God says. And one of the things I think that we need to say that Jesus said in His Word, that we need more today than we've ever had it, And that is that Jesus told them when He was here to have faith. No matter, church, what you're going through, we gotta have faith. And we gotta have faith in this. As Steve said yesterday, I don't put much faith in my abilities. I don't put much faith in a brother or sister's abilities. You know where my faith is? My faith is anchored in Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of you get with us here in a few minutes. My faith is that no matter what the devil throws at us, my Lord and Savior is able to bring us through it. Not just bring us through it, but can I preach for a few minutes this morning? Not just bring it through us through it, but everything the devil steals from us while we're going through it, God's going to give that back and more, because He is not just a God that makes do, but He's a God that goes beyond and above everything the devil has got. My God's got better if we will just listen to Him this morning. We need to listen to what God is saying. People say, well, how can I listen to Him? And the Bible says you're not going to hear it with your audible ear. But you're going to, He's going to go deeper than what you're is set here upon your head. He's going to go down into the heart of man. Anybody ever been just driving along and God began to speak to you? Anybody ever been at the house doing your chores and God begins to speak to you? Anybody else ever been out in the field working and God begins to speak to you? Folks, when He speaks to us, it is a voice that is uncomparable to anything else. People say, well, what kind of voice is it? It's a voice that is so sweet. And when He comes by, you know it's God. I'll reference this and then I'll move on. I remember the first time I heard Him speak to my soul, Brother Terry, and I've said this many times over the years, and testifying and preaching. When He spoke to me, I did not have to get up and go to the front and find out from mom and dad who is this that is speaking to me. You remember Samuel ran to Eli and said, why did you call for me? And finally Eli come to the right mind and he said, it's not me, it's bound to be the Lord that's speaking to this boy. I did not have to go to mom and dad. When that voice spoke to me, Sister Charlene, I knew it had to be God. I knew it was a voice like I'd never heard before, and it was a voice that was offering me everything I had need of if I would just listen and hear what He had to say to me. The biggest thing that Jesus said when He was here upon this earth comes in the latter part of this message. He said this often as He was preaching, teaching, and healing. Is that not what the Bible says that He was doing more than anything else? He was preaching, healing, and teaching. But everywhere He went, He said, I came not to do my will, but I came to do the will of my Father which sent me. Everywhere He went. And as He would go in and out of towns, as He would speak to those that were believers. Can I put it like that this morning? He would tell the believers what they needed to hear. There was some there that was believers and said, and that since He is in town and I've seen what He has done for others, I'm going to go home and get all of my sick folk. Everywhere He went, He was just overloaded with sick folk that needed a healing. And He healed them, the Bible says, many healings that took place. But listen at the message that Jesus really came for. He said, those that are whole have not need of a physician, but those that are sick. He said, I come to the lost household of Israel. I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Does anybody have an abundant life this morning? I'll close in a few minutes. I know that some folks get weary with preaching, but folks, when we need a word from God, it's not going to come through any other medium than when we listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. He told them there, He said this often to you that are lost. He said that no man can serve two masters. He cannot serve mammon and God. So that tells us, He said in that verse, that you will love one and hate the other. Today we've got a whole world that is trying to walk parallel with the devil and God. They're trying to walk in this life holding to the hand of God and holding to the hand of the devil. Jesus said, boys and girls, you cannot do that. You're going to love one and hate the other one. Let me tell you this morning, out of my testimony, and I not apologized in years past for saying this so boldly, but I hate the devil. I hate all that he is doing to our country and to our homes and to our churches. I cannot stand what he is doing today. And I really cannot stand that it's God's people that are allowing him to do the biggest part of what he's doing. He's doing it because we're sitting back and allowing him to do it. I may not love the devil, but oh, how I love Jesus this morning. Amen. I love him because he first loved me. And he showed me that one that I used to run with was going to take me down to hell and destruction. I say this often in our preaching about that song that Sister Gray used to sing. Let me tell you about the best thing I ever did do in my life. It was I finally recognized this rascal was trying to take me down to hell and destruction. And I heard a voice say that I could have life. And I chose the Lord over the devil. And I still would rather walk with Jesus than I had to live with the devil and have everything the world has to offer and die and spend an eternity in that awful place. Jesus told him, Brother Larry, this is some preaching this morning. Jesus told them, and I don't say that bragging on Roger, y'all know me. He said, you must be born again. There's no option. There is not two or three ways into heaven. I know that there are some that are saying that there's other ways, and if as long as you try to live a good life, God will look down at the end of your life and say you tried your best and now you get to go to heaven. The Bible says that God, through His Son Jesus, said you must be born again. He is still saying in this modern era time in which we live in, you must be born again. If there's any other way, Jesus died on Calvary's cross in vain. But folks, He did not die in vain. I am part of the first fruits of the resurrection. I am saved today because Jesus got up. And if you are saved, you're saved because you was born again. Does anybody remember that second birth? I may not remember the first one, but praise God, I remember when I got up and I walked down the aisle to an old-fashioned altar. Can I preach for a few more minutes this morning? Folks today can't even go to an altar and pray. I thank God that I have the ability and I have the recollect. I have the remembrance of what it's like to walk down to an old-fashioned mourner's bench, get down upon my knees and call out to God and hear what God has to say to me. Didn't know I was going to say that. Jesus said, when He was here, to you and to I, He said, come on me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Some of us today, even as Christians, and I don't want to confuse the scripture, Christians today, we are under such a heavy load. Anybody feel that burden that you're carrying this morning? Anybody else know what I'm preaching about? We are under such a heavy burden, and we try to be strong and carry it all by ourselves. And folks, you and I can only go so far. Instead of us trying to carry that burden all by ourselves, you know what we need to do? He said that we ought to bring it to Him, cast it upon the Lord, because He is stronger than what we are. And you that are lost today, you're trying to make it look like everything is all right. I remember sitting there where you're at, and the preacher was preaching to me. Jesus was speaking to me, and I heard what He said, and I tried to put on a show like nothing was bothering me whatsoever. Anybody else remember doing that? But on the inside, my heart was being tore up, and I was recognized that I needed to step out. And folks, if He says that you must be born again, you must be born again. If He said that you need to come to Him with that heavy burden, the only way you'll ever get rid of it is bring it to the Lord. Amen. He also said, what would a man profit if he were to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what would he give in exchange? Some folks are living like they have eternity to get ready. Folks, every day, think about your age right now. Every day there are people that is much younger than you that's going into eternity. Much younger. And folks, a lot of it's because the devil is coming trying to rob them. Trying to steal them. Chad, you and I talked, and then on the front cover of today's paper, it tells about children 13 or 14 years old that are getting hooked on narcotics or getting on prescription drugs. And the devil is telling them the only way you can escape the misery of life, the only way that you can really live life is to be able to shoot in your veins some kind of drug or take a pill or a bottle to help you make it through. Yes, I have my problems, and yes, I have my days of despair. But folks, let me tell you, there is no refuge in what the devil is offering. My only refuge this morning, church, is found in the rock of Jesus Christ at the altar of God and in His Word, calling out to Him and saying, Lord, if you don't help me, I'm not going to make it through. But in the hour that I think that I'm about to collapse, I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit encamp around about me, and now I am no longer succumbed to the devil, but I'm able to lift up my head and walk out of the valley praising the Lord that He gave me the strength to come through it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. I feel like preaching this morning. The Bible says also that Jesus told them there in His Word, He said, whoever shall confess with his mouth and believe in his heart shall be saved. And I'm not trying to make it any simpler or any harder than what the Bible says. Folks, let me tell you, the moment that you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, it's not any question about it. If you truly believe and you truly confess, I will say that God will save you no matter where you have been, no matter how old you are, no matter what kind of sins that you have committed, God will save you, because His Word said, when I speak to you, God does not give you an invitation only to tell you you're not good enough. If that was the case, every one of us would still be lost and undone. But when I was not good enough, hallelujah, God was good enough to send His Son, who had the supreme sacrifice, had the blood that I needed applied to my life. When I was not good enough, He was good enough to pay the price just for me, and He paid it for you. He paid it for all of us. Listen what He said. Sharon and Rob, get us a song of invitation. Listen what He said. All the time He was here, He said, I come to do the will of my Father which sent me. The whole time He was here, He told His disciples, I will lay down my life for my sheep. All the time He was here, He said, I may lay it down, but I have the power to raise it back up. Just as Jonah was in the well, the belly of the great fish for 3 days, He said, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. But folks, when the devil thought that he had him defeated, when the world thought, where is the words that this preacher preached while he was here? Where's the words that this prophet shared on the third day when they thought that he was still dead? Mary and Mary Magdalene went out there to the tomb to find the stone was rolled away, and He was no longer in the tomb. But folks, He is alive. He is still speaking to men and women, and He will continue to speak to men and women until this world comes to an end. And then we will be praising Him in the presence of the angels in heaven above. Amen. Yeah. Let me give you one more thing that He said, Brother Bill, to us that are Christians. He said, lo, I am with you even to the end of the world. Amen. Has God spoke to anybody here this morning? Amen. Has He spoke to you that maybe were discouraged? And you come this morning and your heart was so discouraged you didn't know that if you would even be able to make it into the house of the Lord. Maybe some that you come to the house of the Lord and you was under such a heavy burden, worrying about this and worrying about that, that you just thought, Lord, I just can't make it another step without you. Some of us, we may not have said it to the text of the message this morning, what is He saying to you? But we just said, Lord, can you give me a word this morning? Can you give me a blessing? Maybe we said it like that. Can you bless me, Lord, to help me to get past all that we're facing? Or maybe You come and you said, Lord, well, I got a friend that you need you to speak to them. Those that are lost definitely need you to speak to them. But I've got some brothers or sisters that are down and out. We've got folks today, and I talked to one a few weeks ago that said he quit going to church because all they ever talked about was money. All they ever wanted was the money. Some that have quit going to church because this one said that or that somebody else said something else. Let me tell you this morning, I did not come to church today to see how big the offering plate was. I did not come to church to see what somebody said over here or somebody said over here. I come to get a word from God that will help me today, tomorrow, and this week, that when the devil comes against me, and he does come against us, that I can look at him and say, yes, devil, you're right. You're speaking right exactly at what's going on in my life. But have you heard that when one of the children get in trouble, that Jesus, the Word said, that God would send a band of angels to encamp round about us. You may hit me on all corners, but you cannot take my soul and my salvation. So go ahead and kill me. I'll just move on to a better world, a better life than what I've got here. People say, oh, you get bold when you preach. The Word of God will make you bold. It will make you to stand up to the devil and say, I'm tired of what you're doing. I'm tired of having to fight with you. Have you not heard? I gave my life. I dedicated my home. I dedicated my children. I dedicated the church all to God. You have no business in their lives and in our lives trying to take away what God has given to us. It don't belong to you, devil. People say, oh, that's too bold. I don't know if I can say that. There will come a time. Mark it down. There will come a time when you will get fed up fighting with that rascal. There will come a time that you will be fed up with what he's doing to your home and to your children and to your grandchildren. And you, by the help of the Lord, when God speaks to you, you can't say it on your own. But Brother Arthur, but when the Lord sends the Spirit, no wonder Brother Tom Metcalf used to say, when the Lord was sent by his Spirit, that we could go bear hunting with a switch. No wonder he said that. Because folks, when we get fed up with everything that the devil is doing, we will stand upon the promise of God's Word. In fact, let me give this to you, then I'll close. People say, well, he's told us all those things. What about all the rest of the prophecies? There's only one prophecy that's left to be fulfilled, and that was when Jesus was going away. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. How many of you need to hear a word this morning from God that he's coming back? Keep looking, because he's coming back to gather his elect from the four winds. Stand this morning and let them sing. If you need a word, you need to step out and come and pray. Don't wait on a brother or sister or mother or father to come. But you, while God has dealt with your heart, take that step today. I cannot walk for you. I cannot bear that burden that you're bearing. But I know one that can. I cannot give you the encouragement that everything is going to be all right. Yes, I can tell you I know what God has done for others and what he's done for me. But unless you step out for yourself, you will not receive the word that God's got for you. Would you do that this morning? Church member that needs to step out. Save mom and dad, boy and girl that needs to step out. Lost man or woman, boy or girl that needs to step out. Jesus said, I didn't come, if I can paraphrase it, I did not come to perform all these miracles. I come that men and women might be saved. That was his purpose. He come that you might get saved this morning. Would you follow your heart? Follow your heart and step out and listen to what God is saying to you. Listen to what he's saying to you. Yes. Well, they pause for just a minute. And I'm not proud to say what I'm saying right now. But I believe I can say this without any reservations whatsoever. And that is that most of us as human beings, saved and unsaved alike, will listen more to what the devil has to say than we will to what God has to say. Look at it. Because every time trouble comes, we try to work it out. We try to figure it out. We get all caught up in the intrigue and everything else that's taking place. The devil will tell us to try this or try that, and we will act upon what he's telling us, and we'll let what God is saying to us just go. By nature, because of our father, Adam, we have the tendency to listen to the devil more than we do to listen to God. But I want you and I to know that we are not subject to what the devil says. We are not his servants anymore. We are the servants of God. So today we need to purpose it in our heart that we're not going to listen to the devil. You that are lost, he'll tell you you have another day, you have another service, you've got another year, you've got several years ahead of you. There's not a one of us know if we'll be alive this afternoon, much less tomorrow. Not a one of us. I don't know if I'll make it to the house or not. But I know this, if I don't make it to the house, I'll make it home. I'll make it home. Because you see, that's outside of my control. When I've taken my last breath, some of the best pallbearers there are can't compare with the ones that God's got waiting to come and gather us and take us home to be with Him. Can we have just one more verse, Rob? And we'll close with this. You've heard what the Lord has said to you. Now it's up to you to act upon it. It's up to you. Whatever He has spoken to your heart, that's the way that you need to act upon. Act upon it. For what He has said to you. Nobody else can move for what the Lord has told you. Only you can. Why don't you do it right now? While they go into this course. Listen to this. I must tell Jesus. Yes. And all He wants to hear is that we're sorry. We repent of our sins. I cannot bear it all by myself. Yes. He has spoken to you this morning. Yes, Jesus alone. To some of us, He is saying, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome this world. I've overcome the world. Sometimes we just need to remember whose we are. And remember that it's not what the devil says that we have to worry about. is what God says that we need to be concerned with. What God says. Because the devil will always, if God says yes, the devil will always come and say no. If God says no, the devil will always come and say yes. Does not the scripture call him the adversary? In other words, whatever God says, the devil's going to say completely opposite. That's why we need to search the spirits and make sure that it is of God. Have you enjoyed being to the house of the Lord this morning? I hope you got something that you can take with you that will encourage you. And you that are lost, that you can take this home with you. And the word is not going to change. This is how you can tell whether it's of God or of the devil. The devil's story will change day in and day out. He's like a prophetic liar. You know, one thing about liars is that sooner or later their stories catch up with them because they can't remember what they said. God's word has never changed. It's never changed. It's still the same. God bless you. Get you something to eat. Get you a nap if you need it. And come back and be with us tonight. And invite all of you to come back and be with us, those visiting with us, as well as our church, to come back and be with us anytime that you can. And I hope that God blesses you and yours is our prayers. God bless you today.